This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down,
this is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight allied supporters to stand up for our GLBTI community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking. And most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. So in the next 40, 57 minutes, please join me via text on 0427JOY949 or email me on air at joy.org.au. I would love to hear what you feel and what you're feeling about our topic tonight, which is we're actually continuing a discussion about HIV and AIDS. Last week we had a couple of guests. We had Megan Dean and they spoke about their stories, and I've decided that I would like to keep on that same path, keep educating our rainbow family, as well as probably more importantly, the allies and the straight supporters of a HIV positive family. So I have cajoled Dean back in from last week, and he's also dragged in his mother, and she's going, Agnes, and she's going to be telling us a bit about her reactions, her feelings, her emotions, and that sort of thing. And they're staring at me looking very, very terrified. So I'll put them out of their misery. We can say hi, Agnes and Dean. Welcome.
Good evening, Meg.
Michelle.
Sorry.
That's all right. Now he's going to hate that. How are you?
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Agnes, were you nervous coming in today?
Not really.
No?
No? No, all good.
Yeah, that's good. Good, good. So, the biggest issue that we've discovered surrounding HIV and AIDS is the stigma. So did you have any idea of what the stigma was, or that there was in fact a stigma at all?
Well, when Dean first told me, I think my biggest concern was telling immediate friends and family, because my biggest concern was how they would react to him. Would they treat him differently? Would it impact on, okay, I've got nieces and nephews who've got children. Mm. Would they think, oh, we shouldn't have Dean in our home because he might infect our children?
Did you feel that because you didn't know about HIV and AIDS? Is that because you didn't know and so therefore you weren't sure whether they could catch it or how they could catch it, that kind of thing? Was that why?
Well, I didn't understand it. Yeah. I think Dean mentioned it last week that all he knew was these Grim Reaper ads. Mm. And that's what they did. They put these ads on television and put the fear of God into the community. Yeah. So when Dean told me, that he was HIV positive, my first reaction was, my God, my son's going to die before me.
You've dived right into this heavy topic, haven't you? Yeah. But was that really the very first thing that you thought?
Absolutely. I had no doubt whatsoever that I'm thinking to myself, God, I'm not supposed to do this. I shouldn't have to bury my son. Wow. And that's what my understanding was, that if you had HIV, you automatically got AIDS and died within a few years.
Why, Dan, you were going to say something?
I think when I initially told Mum, I think that was probably what I believed as well. I only told her a couple of months after the diagnosis and had probably, again, the same idea, the same... I think we spoke last week about that whole scare campaign in the early 80s. I probably didn't choose the best time or...
place.
What was for that matter? I'm sensing there's going to be a big family discussion right now.
Yeah.
The place, what happened?
He took me to a restaurant in Fitzroy Street.
Public place, Dean!
I think we may have ordered dinner. I can't remember if we ate dinner that night. But
was it just the two of you?
Just the two of us. Mm-hmm. And he told me in the restaurant, and I thought I was going to pass out. Mm. And I'm thinking,
I think you did a little bit. You did have to sit down and.
Well, yes. So I said to Dean, "We just need to get out of here." I think we paid the bill.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we left. The debt collector chasing after you.
We left, and then we're in on Beach Road, and.
You had to lie down.
I said to him, I need to sit down. I sat on the fence or on the grass or something.
I ask that? Did you deliberately do it in a public place?
Yes.
Why? Chicken? Would that be why?
It wasn't really thought through, and I was thinking about this earlier on today, and I really need to put it into context of how I was feeling at the time. So I'd just turned 21. I'd only found out a few months earlier. I was incredibly scared, and you know, I needed support, which is why I was telling my mum about my HIV status. I didn't know what I know today, and I'm not the same person who goes out to speaks to schools and communities, and I've done all these amazing training programs, so I know a lot more than what I did know back then. And I think also a lot of the time people's reactions will be almost mirroring the way that you tell them. So if
Correct.
You tell them with fear and you've, you know, I built it up to this, you know, Mum, I've got something really serious to tell you, and you know, she could see the fear in me, and I think that's what set her off. Whereas if I had have approached it differently, like, hey, Mum, look, I've got something to tell you. It's not great news, but it's not the end of the world. I certainly could have approached it better. Telling her in public was not the right way of doing it.
Listen, it's a story. We've had a bit of a giggle now. Can I just go back to something? How did that... Agnes has just said then that she didn't expect that she would have to bury her son and her son die before her and Bubba. How does that feel, hearing that sort of thing?
That's what I thought was going to happen as well. I remember when I heard the news that I was positive, and I did mention last week that I remembered feeling like the doctors were lying to me when they said I was going to be okay. And I had an incredible fear around the fact that my parents were going to have to watch me, you know, go through this awful... or pass away, and like in the movies, Philadelphia and Angels, and like all of that awful thing, ways that happened to people that did die in the 80s. So I was pretty scared, and it wasn't a very pleasant time, and there were a tough few years. But I think that, you know, it's kind of, we can look back on it now and have a bit of a laugh about it. And I think we're both a lot more educated about the reality of what this means now.
Were you at any of the doctor's visits at all? Did you go along with Dean to anything?
I went, from what I can recall, we did go along to see a doctor, and we got a bit of information from them. And then I went to my own personal doctor, who was really fantastic. He'd worked with some people who'd been diagnosed HIV positive, and so he was able to allay some of my fears and told me that my son would outlive me. And from that moment on, I was able to look forward to let's sort this out, get him medication and move on.
So is that what did you think, that once you were kind of reassured that, so then that, as you said, then you could move, so that was your block at that point in time, would that be right? Once you were clear that he was going to be
Well, yes, but then I know at the time when he was getting the medication, you know, at back then, there were lots of side effects. I remember you telling me about that, Dean. And he explained that there were lots of side effects of the medication and until they got it right. Mm. So there was still a lot of uncertainty about...
Are you a caregiver yourself? Are you somebody that wants to make everyone feel better and you really, really feel pain for other people and upset for other people?
Well, Dean was ill from the time he was a small child. Mm. So from the time he was about 4 till about 12, he had kidney problems. So he'd been in and out of hospital quite a bit. So all I wanted to do was wrap him up in a cotton wool and never, ever let him go anywhere. And there's a story where he said to me once, "Mum, you never let me go and get milk from the milk bar." So
how old then?
He would have been about...
Just riding my bike.
So 9? Yeah. Anyway, so he said, "I want to go on my bike and get some milk for you." And I said, "Okay, all right." First time, I said to his brother, "You go with him. It's just around the corner. You go with him and buy the milk." So they took off and I saw them go. And then a few minutes later, his brother comes back and says, Mum, he's fallen off the bike." So I picked him. I ran down the street, picked him up, walked in, carried him home and said, "You're never leaving the house again." But I did let him go. So, I mean, you know, from a very early on, he was ill. So my job was to protect him.
Yeah.
And then we'd sorted out a few other illnesses that he had. It was like every couple of years he was in hospital for a major operation. And then this comes. So it's just always been looking after him.
But in this particular instance, this is something that's so different and life-changing in a sense, would you say? How differently could you handle... This is an illness that you probably... I'm assuming, tell me if this isn't correct, that you didn't know much about. So did you know how you would cope with it?
Well, that was an interesting one. I went on the internet, didn't I?
Damn internet.
The millions of articles that were on the internet, and I didn't know where to start, where to look.
Were you in a fog? Were you in just a mess and a fog?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There was so much to read.
Yeah.
You didn't know where to go.
It's the internet's such a wonderful tool, but also maybe not the best source of information at times. I remember recently I was doing some research for a project I was working on and went and did some research about HIV. And I remember this one page put up by the American Medical Association that said, you know, HIV positive people should celebrate because now you've gone from 7 years to being able to live for 14 years after your diagnosis, which is completely untrue. And you know, I kind of read that and I was like, oh, okay, I've got 4 years left now.
Is that your reaction to reading that?
Well, no, I mean, I knew it was a complete... This article was only published, you know, a year or two ago, but completely off the mark. So the information on the internet, I mean, it's this great tool with so much information, but, you know, if you go to the wrong site and get the wrong information, you could be reading... very incorrect information. So,
well, what I can suggest now is that if I was going to go through that again, I would be going maybe to my doctor, getting some information. If they're not able to help you, then go to a counselling service, or I know there's lots of groups out there now where you can get advice from and information from people who really know what they're talking about.
That's something I want to discuss in more detail when we come back. We've got to have a song. I told you guys, it goes really, really quickly. You're on Joy 94.9 with Michelle, Agnes and Dean.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi everyone, you're with Michelle, Dean and Agnes. And again, I will say no one danced with me, but, you know, we'll just wait till the next song. Something, we had a bit of a discussion at the break, and Dean, are you a bit of a drama queen? Did you kind of grab hold of the... Mum's going, of course.
Would I be prone to overreacting?
This is kind of a half funny, half serious question. Did you want a bit of attention? Did you kind of think, poor me, it's not fair, why me?
Did I milk the situation?
Did you milk? That's your words, not mine. But did you? It's half a serious question too.
I would say, yeah, look, absolutely. Looking back on it, there's certainly times when I maybe exaggerate. Well, yes, I exaggerated the severity of what was going on, but I think a lot of it had to do with my understanding of what it meant as well. Mm. So maybe I was looking for sympathy or support, and maybe that in turn might have given Mum the wrong idea about exactly where things were at. But again, it was a very different time, so I'd probably pass it over to Mum. Do you think
Did you think he deserved sympathy, or did you want him to sort of toughen up, or would you actually just not know?
No, he got the sympathy until I woke up to it. It takes me a while to get there, but I finally realise what he's doing. It's just part of his nature, and it's because of the fact that he was in hospital as a child, because every time he had an operation, he got a new toy. And so whatever Dean wanted, Dean got. Mm-hmm. And I remember once he went into a hospital for an operation, they couldn't do it. And he said to me, "Oh, Mum, what about all the presents? So I miss out on them."
And the answer was yes.
Yes. So it takes me a bit of time, but look, I can understand that he didn't know what he was doing at the time. It was a traumatic time for him, and he certainly, I think, got support from all of us.
I was going to ask that. Did you discuss this with many of your family members?
I discussed it with a few family members, not all of them. Again, I was more worried about how they would react to him, and if I didn't want them to put him down or, you know, anything like that. But then I've forgotten what I was going to say.
Did you discuss with some, like, a discussion with some of them?
It was more Dean's brother. I was going overseas. It was shortly after he told me, and I didn't want to go, but I'd paid for the holiday, and I thought, look, I'm going to go, but I'll tell Dean's brother before I leave. And it was
you told him or Dean told him?
I told him.
With Dean's
permission. Okay, with Dean's permission. Mm. And we were in the backyard, and I said to Simon, look, you know, I need to tell you something. While I'm away, I need you to be here for Dean. Mm. And I told him that he'd been diagnosed HIV positive, and Simon almost passed out in the backyard. Mm. So he had the same reaction as I did.
This might seem like a really simple question. Why do you think there's this fear?
Well, I think, as I said at the time, we didn't really understand. We'd seen those commercials we just assumed that he was going to die. And like I said, I explained to Simon then, look, it's not bad. Like, it's not as bad as we thought it was. Mm-hmm. There's medication out there, and he's going to be okay. But just the initial reaction was... Mm. Yeah, it was fear.
So, you were going to say?
Oh, it's funny because it's when we talk about Mum's reaction and Simon's reaction. So much of this comes just from the misinformation. And if people were better educated, even if I was better educated back then about what this meant, I feel like we could have saved so much pain and so much, you know, angst in all of this.
But you mentioned before that you went to the doctors. Did you go to counsellors as well to kind of get your head around what may or may not happen? And that was your educational path that you started on?
Look, back then I think that if I knew now, if I knew then what I know now, I think that it would have made things a lot easier, but I would have done things a little differently because I left a lot of my information to come from Dean.
Really? That's interesting.
I think so.
So that put pressure on you, Dean, to be the information giver? Or was that a lot of pressure to kind of make sure your mum knew what was happening, looking after her?
Yeah, I think Meg and I both touched on this last week. And when you, you know, confide in someone and tell them about your diagnosis, you end up sort of being their support person. So it turns out being counterproductive because you've told them to try and get some support, but then you're trying to educate them about what it really means. And it's this kind of cycle of yeah. So I did have to give Mum a lot of information, and I was trying to make sure that she was okay. And I came up with the idea of bringing her along to the GP and trying to get Mum as much information as I could. But like I said, there's a lot of misinformation out there. So you jump on the internet and get, you know, quite a bit of a shock about what you see. So
see, things were different in that when he was little, I was in charge. I had a doctor I could ring 24/7. Mm. I had help. I had information about his kidney problems.
Yep.
I researched that before internet was out. I went to the library and read up whatever.
Paper, books.
Exactly. But now he was the adult. I couldn't tell him what to do, how to treat himself. So he took control of it. And so he was giving me information about what his treatment would be.
Mm. And did you want to – did it put you in a situation of wanting to learn more and more and more so that you could then get that mother role back again and look after him? Or
look, I think for a while I buried my head in the sand. I didn't want to know because I read – what was it, the book, April Fool's Day?
Oh, yeah. Bryce Courtney. Yeah, Bryce Courtney. It's an amazing book,
it
actually.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you've read the horrible side effects and the symptoms that he had from his AIDS, I think I went through a stage where I didn't want to know what his side effects of his treatments were going to be. You get to a place maybe like that sometimes. Also, there may have been some anger.
I've actually written down anger and emotion in big letters here. Is that what it is? It's not fair for you either.
We had discussed this. I sat down and I always said that I would sit and discuss everything with my kids.
Mm.
Our parents didn't do that with us. And I said I would do that with my children. And we talked about condoms, about safe sex, and there was no hiding anything. It was discussed. So then when this happens, you think, how many times do you have to tell your son to use a condom? Mm. And it still didn't. It was his decision.
Mm.
So there is anger as well.
Mm.
This didn't have to happen. But
yeah.
So there is
some
of that. Is
that what you feel, that this is, it was avoidable and it was, you know?
Well, at the time I felt that, yes. And I mean, I probably still think that up to a point in that, yeah, look, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think I would have made that decision, but then that's his decision and he's got to live with those consequences.
Mm.
And I want to support him and be there for him through everything. But so probably at the time...
Sorry, go on.
So probably at the time there was anger.
I would have no doubt, and I would think that probably most people in your situation would have anger. But what have you... Are there some examples of things that you've done that kind of turned you around that maybe made you less angry? Or I mean, there's people that could be listening tonight also that, you know, they're hearing your story, and it's really, really important to, if there's things that you did, be them small or big, what did you do differently?
I think the thing that I've always tried to do is spend as much time with Dean and both anything they asked me to go to with them. I went to the gay club that night. Spent there. I was there.
Oh, no. Dean has finally gone red. Oh, okay. Mum, don't go there.
I went to...
What
was
it? Stage.
They organised for the...
Drag
queens to pull me up on stage. And, you know, like, so they're the things that I've done to support
God,
my son.
God, love you. That's fantastic, though, really, to have you being able to be comfortable, Dean, or maybe semi-comfortable right now, to have your mum being part of that part of your life is extraordinary. I would think, has that been maybe what's made it easier to talk about his status?
Look, I think time. You just take it one day at a time, and time will work. You will work it through, and I think we have worked it through, and I'm sure there's still a lot more to come.
There's something that you told me a little while back, and you said things will be the way they are meant to be. Wise words, and cliche and corny and simplistic, but they are. And do you get to the point where you cannot be constantly swimming upstream and battling what you physically and emotionally cannot change?
Look, Dean's had to deal with his own demons.
Mm.
He's been through a very difficult phase of his life. He's come through the end of the tunnel, I think. I sat here and listened to him last Friday at home while he was here. And I sat there and I thought, my God, he's not a boy anymore. He's a man. And he's come through a lot and I'm very, very proud of him. He's just turned his life around. He's got a job that he loves. He's got himself a car. He's got his license.
He got his license last week.
He's free. I don't have to chauffeur him around anymore. And I'm just so proud of him.
Why did you... Oh, that's beautiful. I knew you'd make me cry, Agnes. Well done. Did you... Why a man... Why was it at that point... You said you were listening to him last Tuesday, right? So why was it then that you felt, wow, he's a man? Why do you think it was now?
Look, I think as mothers, we all remember the babies we brought home from hospital. And it's hard to think of your baby as grown up. And I think that's where he is now, that he's grown up and I don't have to worry about him as much. You know, as again comes back to his being gay, you know, you worry about him. I was worrying about him being on a train. You know, people might see him and he gets beaten up because he's gay. Well, now he's safer. He's in his own car. That's what mothers worry about.
It's true. It's true, Dean. And I can say I have felt the same things as a mum and I worry for the safety of my son. I do as well. I think, Agnes, you and I need to dance now. And you're on Joy 94.9 and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
It's a celebration.
Hey you, stand up straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
Hi everyone, welcome back again. You are with Michelle, Dean and Agnes and we're talking about HIV, AIDS and from a parent's perspective. And I want to thank Agnes. I know she's shed a few tears and I really appreciate the bravery of coming in and talking about something that's obviously very, very close to you and something that touches you probably on a daily basis, I would think sometimes.
It's hard not to think about it every day. I want to see my son grow up and hopefully meet someone and have a happy life and get married.
That's what we all want. Yeah, if they could get married, don't get me excited. Yeah. In the last 12 months, 2 years, have you seen a change in Dean? Is it different now? Have you seen things progress with your son?
He went through a very difficult stage.
giving each other hand signals, like, come
secretly,
on, Mum.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to put him in a difficult situation, but he went through some drug and alcohol rehab, and he's come through that. And it was a very difficult time because he didn't tell me how bad he was. And he didn't want me to know.
They don't, because they want to protect us, don't they?
Well, yeah, maybe. I wasn't sure why, but I found out that he was in a drug and alcohol rehab, and he didn't tell me he was there. So I didn't find out for a week. And then when he finally told me, he told me, like, I think he rang me and said, oh, no.
No, actually someone told me. Much smarter than that. I got a friend to tell her I was in lockdown so that she couldn't come me or yell at me. Just to touch on that, though, I think that they were my coping mechanisms when I was younger and when I didn't know how to deal with these, you know, emotions that were coming up. So, like Mum said, 2 years ago, I decided to sort of get everything back together and check myself into a drug and alcohol rehab. So, I think that's when everything started to sort of come together and my life started to get a lot more stable and things started to go much better. So,
well, it took a few years to get there, but it has.
Yeah. In the last 12 months, would you say he's a bit better?
Absolutely. He's just, it's been great. He's turned a corner and he's more positive.
Well, that's a good link to Positive Speakers Bureau. Is that because he's been so involved and maybe giving of himself and telling his story, inspiring people, which I'm positive he does. So does that given you maybe a bit of an easier...
He's found something that works for him. and whatever, why it is, I don't know, but it works for him. And maybe because he's talking about it, or maybe, I think that he's getting a lot out of helping people. It, you know, he feels that if he's talking to people, if he can stop one person going through what he's gone through, then it's worth it. And I'm proud of him for that because... All my life I've done volunteer work, you name it. I've been there. Playgroup, kindergarten, school, whatever. I've done all the volunteer groups you could ever imagine. And I've always tried to get my children interested in that, but it's never... Yeah, but now that he's doing it, he's getting... I find that if you give, you get back.
Oh, 100% agree. That's why I'm on here. Probably about 99% of the reason. Have you thought of being involved, or have you spoken at any... support groups for parents with HIV kids or anything like that?
Well, I didn't know if there are any support groups.
Would you? Do you think you would?
I don't know. I honestly don't.
Do you think you've got a story that everyone else would or people could relate to? Have you got things that they could agree with?
I haven't really thought about it. I suppose, are there groups for parents?
That wasn't a well-prepared question on my part.
I don't know.
But I'm sure there is, and I will find out for you. That's very, very bad, Michelle, very bad. I think because of your honesty and your frankness, that is exactly what people would need to hear.
Exactly. I mean, where would they go? I went to a support group for drug and alcohol rehab, they're out there, but no one ever mentioned it or brought it up for parents of HIV.
We will find that out. Yeah. Did you at times just stick your head in the sand and switch off?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I think it was more not wanting to know the medical side of it because as a child, when he was sick, I was in control. I knew what was happening, but now he was... And it just gets to a stage where I think it just got too much. I just didn't want to know.
Had you met or have you met any other HIV-positive people?
The only other person I'd ever met was through my work. I'd worked for a housing group that provided housing for people coming out of drug and alcohol rehab. Mm-hmm. And one of the residents came up to me one day and told me that he was diagnosed with AIDS. And I stood there and I thought to myself, what do I say to this man? What do I do? And I put my arms around him and gave him a hug and I thought, oh, my God, can I catch something? Because this was again Grim Reaper ad time. Yeah. And I thought, oh, don't be stupid. Just give him a hug. That's all he wants. and really, I don't think I've met anyone else. See, this is what I mean. You don't know.
You don't know, yeah. Well, does it come back to stigma? I mean, it's almost a rhetorical question. Is it because
people don't talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. They don't talk about it. If we did talk about it, there wouldn't be the stigma, and it's that vicious cycle. So what's this? How would you describe the stigma? Could you?
Look, there's also, you know, I mean, I've now got a grandchild, my first granddaughter, and, you know, I did. It sort of entered my mind, well, hang on, we need to find out. Can Dean pass anything on to children? I know it's stupid to think that, but
no, it's not, because if you think it, and I have thought it, there's others out there thinking the same thing.
So we need more information. We need to find out more. I know that he can't pass anything on, but it still enters your mind. So, again, it is about stigma, about people thinking, well, can he infect my child? Can he, you know, can I kiss him okay? You know, can I – all of that comes into your mind.
Dean, does that bother you, hearing that sort of thing?
Yeah.
It does? Your body language told me. Why?
Quite a bit. I mean, it's the grandchild that she's referring to is my my goddaughter, and I was really honoured to be asked to be the godfather. And when they asked me, I had this amazing sense of relief that they, you know, obviously trust me and aren't worried that I'm going to, you know, to pick her up and hold her. And I remember the first time I met my goddaughter when she was born. I went to visit my brother and my sister-in-law. I picked her up and my brother said, make sure you don't give her gay. And
oh,
I was like,
just the gay.
The gay. And that's what he was worried about.
That's catchy too. That's catchy too.
And it, in my mind, it was like just a sense of relief. Like he was just joking around. Mm. And
was that a fear though? When you know, before the child was born and, you know, all that, was that going through your mind?
Possibly that they might not want me to pick her up or hold her, and it would have killed me, you know, to not, you know, because she's, you know, a beautiful baby. And she's.
But had you broached that with them, those thoughts?
No, I never really spoke to them about it. I'd love to think that my brother's intelligent enough to know that it's not an issue, and his lovely wife has a PhD in psychology, so she's incredibly intelligent, so I don't think that she'd have any of those irrational fears along those lines. But it's certainly something that I thought about. Clearly, it's obviously something that Mum has thought about, and it's, I guess it's, you know, I remember I told you the story last week about the can of Coke, and people can get sort of really weird about that kind of stuff, but this is all coming back down to stigma and about how people's reactions can be so irrational, and it does hurt. It really does.
It does. I applaud you both for your bravery. I really do. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes. You're on Joy 94.9.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the new Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. Joy.org.au.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
Hi, everyone. A couple of minutes left. I'm going to talk real quick. We've got a beautiful message from Scott. Hi, Michelle, Dean and Agnes. Thank you for inspiring. Power to you all. And he's even having a dance. Finally. Dean, quick question. If you had your time over again, would you do it differently?
Would I do it differently? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I for a very long time, I thought that it was a mistake to tell my family because it really didn't cause anything but a lot of heartache. Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, everything's turned around quite a bit and the work that I'm doing in the community, I think I would have told them when I was in a better place and had better information and maybe a better strategy. So absolutely would have done a lot different.
And Agnes, do you think, how would you have felt if it was done differently? A bit of an odd question, I know.
Well, I disagree, because I think that's when you needed the support from your family. I think that if you'd, by the time you'd gotten to that better place, you don't know the time frame there. So I think that you do it the way it happens at the time.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that we could discuss. Stigma is a massive, massive issue, and if we do not continue to talk about it, it will not and will never go away. We've just tried to see if there is a group out there in Melbourne that for HIV positive parents of. And we've not been able to find anything. So we will investigate a little bit more and see if we could come up with something. Maybe you'll be the first speaker, Agnes. you know, the very first organisation out there, you can lead the way. The thing is, we need people, you know, average mum, average dad out there talking about it and how it's impacted on our lives. And you know that it's not always that bad, and that there's your good story, your positive story, and that's really, really important. We have got to wrap up, and I want to thank you both immensely. Dean, for coming back, because I know you were very, very nervous, and it takes great courage to actually have your mum in and face her while you're talking about some very personal and serious stuff. And Agnes, for being very, very brave, and I know you have been, you've probably enjoyed it a little bit more than you had anticipated.
Yes, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Okay, so I just wanted to let people know if they want to get some more information about the Living Positive Speakers Bureau, they can go to livingpositivevictoria.org.au. Also, as we discussed last week, the Enough campaign, you can pledge your support there at enough.org.au. Want to thank Jerry out on the front desk and the lovely Anastasia, Maddie T for the knobs buttons and whistles and everything else. And I want to leave you with your weekly challenge, everyone. What will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? Let me know via social media. Great news, every single podcast will be up by the end of the week, so you can listen to this fabulous program. And up next, Sonia with Sci-Fi and Scream. You've been listening to Michelle Barber on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Good night, everyone.
Take a look at our Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.